We're going to continue with setting the goal. And I think that's in chapter 17. I'd love for things in my life to turn out the way I want them to. Okay, this section tells us how to have that happen. On page 366, paragraph 4. The value of deciding in advance what you want to happen. The value of deciding in advance what you want to happen. The value of deciding in advance what you want to happen. The value of deciding in the beginning what you want to happen is simply that you will perceive the situation as a means to make it happen. When you know what you want at the beginning of a situation, you can use that situation as a means or a way to make what you want to happen, happen. If you want to make what you want to happen, happen, you will therefore make every effort to overlook what interferes with the accomplishment of your objective. If you really want to make it happen, you must make every effort to overlook whatever interferes with making it happen. You concentrate on everything that helps you meet your objective. You concentrate on everything that helps you meet your objective. Whatever it is you decided that you wanted to happen in advance, you see the situation or relationship that you're in right now. You see that situation or relationship that you're in right now as another way to make what you want to happen to you happen. So your life, whatever's going on in your life right now, is an opportunity to make what you want to happen, happen. And the way you make what you want to happen, happen, is you make every effort you can to overlook everything that keeps you from achieving your objective by concentrating on everything that helps you meet your goal. You concentrate on everything that helps you meet your goal. And he says it's quite noticeable that this approach has brought you closer to the Holy Spirit sorting out of truth and falsity. Have you ever wondered what's true?
Yeah.
Have you ever wondered what's true?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If you want to be clear on that for the rest of your life, I'm about to give it to you.
Okay.
And also, I'm going to share with you how to recognize what's false.
Yeah.
Okay. Once and for all, you can no longer be fooled about what's true or what's false.
Wow.
Okay. What's true is what you can use to meet your goal. So what's true is whatever helps you achieve your goals. In your life, from this point forward, Spirit is telling us, look, what's true for you is what helps you meet your goal. What you want to do is make up your mind from the very beginning. Before you go out this door, make up your mind about what you want to happen when you leave. Before you go out this door, make up your mind about what you want to happen before you leave. Decide in advance what you would like to happen in this next hour that we're together. Let's do that. What would you like to happen in this hour?
I want to have fun.
You want to have fun.
Connection.
Peace.
An epiphany.
I just like to hear what you said.
You just want to be able to even hear. If you could just hear something I said, that would be good.
That'd be good enough for me today.
Okay. Somebody else. Take a second, and decide in advance what you'd like to happen right now with us together. And just yell it out.
Wisdom.
Want to be reminded of who I am.
You want to be reminded of who you are. Okay, so if you want to be reminded of who you are, then the way that you achieve that is... Earl. You got to see this situation right here and now as a way to make your awakening and remembering who you are happen. You have to go. The purpose of being in this class right now, the reason why I'm talking to you right now, Earl, is that I want this to be used as an opportunity for me to remember who I really am. Isn't that what you said you wanted? Okay, so this situation is an opportunity for you to do it. So now all of a sudden you and I are real clear about why we are looking at each other. Right? So if the goal is to help you remember who you really are, then if we're going to achieve that goal, then we have to make every effort to overlook anything that interferes with our objective. So anything that comes up that tries to make us forget that it's about you remembering who you really are, we got to learn how to make every effort to not give that our attention. You said that you wanted to remember who you were with me. You didn't say you wanted to go to Ely's Gardens, whatever the name of that place is. So if I really want to be about achieving the goal with you, then I got to overlook that, because that's not what it's about. You see what I'm saying? I got to overlook, if it's about me and you remembering who we are, which is what? What are we? All right. So that means if you and I have the objective of recognizing that we're both innocent children of God, we have to be willing to overlook every single thing that comes up between us that would make either one of us think we weren't the holy innocent children of God. So anytime I get ready to attack you, get upset with you, judge you, then I immediately know that in terms of the goal, which we've set, that this is what our relationship is about, attacking you would be interfering with my objective, which is for you to recognize your love and for me to recognize I'm love. So I've got to make every effort to overlook what interferes with loving you. And how do I do that? See, let's make it practical. How do I do that? How do we use this situation as an opportunity for her to remember who we are? Well, we concentrate on everything that helps us meet our goal. So I concentrate on loving you. I concentrate on respecting you. I concentrate on wanting you to be safe. I concentrate on joining you in your goals. I concentrate. You see what I'm saying? I'm going to concentrate on everything that helps us reach our goal. We'll study some course. We'll laugh. You see, I'm not going to be attacking her. She's not going to be attacking me, because that would be interfering with our objective. Mm-hmm. I know people who say they want peace and all they focus on is everything that upset them. Mm-hmm. I know people who say they want love, but then they hold 1,000 grievances, which means they're focusing on everything that keeps them from loving the person. Mm-hmm. But then they wonder why they don't see it. Because their goal is to see the grievance. Mm-hmm. So that's why they see it. I love it. All right? So what's true is what we use to meet our goal. And what's false is...
what's useless.
In what? Meeting our goal. Excuse me, just a minute. I refuse to use my body. It's just a pedestal for my head.
Thank you.
I just can't do it. That felt so good. Okay, so now you know the difference between what's true and what's false. But you can't know the difference between what's true and what's false if you don't have a goal. Because it's your goal that allows you to evaluate. If my goal is to love her and help her remember who she is, then I can tell what's true and what's false in our relationship immediately. Because if our goal is peace and we're constantly fighting and arguing, then the relationship is useless. It's a useless relationship in terms of our goal. I mean, how many of us are in useless relationships right now? And there's a certain way you can tell when you're in a useless relationship. You want to kill yourself! And spitting a few more people. You depressed. You're unhappy. Your life has no vigor, no life, no energy, no joy. You're in a bunch of useless relationships. You're in useless relationships. If you're unhappy, you're in useless relationships. We may have a useless relationship to money. We may have a useless relationship to another person. We could have a useless relationship to our job. But if there's no joy, if it's not helping me meet my goal of joy and knowing that I'm the loving, cool, wonderful child of God, then it's useless in terms of my goal. So what's false is what's useless, and it's natural to be depressed if you're surrounded by what's false. It's natural to be depressed if you're surrounded by stuff that's unreal. Nobody can expect you to be happy about living an unreal life. You shouldn't feel bad about feeling depressed. You're just it's the correct response to a crappy life. And I guarantee you, sooner or later, I'm going to say something that offends you. And I'm going to say something you love. If I'm doing this right, you'll go through a variety of reactions to what I'm saying. And as long as you don't, shoot me or nothing, everything's cool. Reason why I don't want to go out to the world and teach the truth to the whole world, that it's a part of me feel like I just get bumped off. If you really tell the truth in the world, it's a part of me think you really tell the truth in the world.
No,
you're going to be misperceived. You're going to be seen as crazy. You're going to be seen as loony. You're going to be frightening to people. And the problem I have with that is that I've been doing it for 30 years and nothing's happened but love yet. So one of these days I'm going to be right. Mm-hmm. And that'll be the day I'm unhappy.
Yeah.
Yes. See, unhappiness is a reflection of the desire to be right. Mm-hmm. Unhappiness is a reflection of the desire to be right more than having the desire to be happy. If you want to be right more than you want to be happy, you're unhappy right now. So who can tell me what's true? It helps you meet your goal. What's false?
What's useless?
Okay, now the situation has meaning. Because the goal is giving it meaning. Now you know what the situation means. Like, so that means right now you're either in a situation that's useless or you're in a situation that's helping you meet your goal. Now you know the meaning of every situation in your life. Either I'm in a relationship with my finances that's useless, or I'm in a relationship with my finances that's helping me meet my goal. I'm either in a relationship with God that's helping me meet my goal, or I'm in a relationship with God that seems useless because it's not. You see what I'm saying? It's not bad or good. It's useful or useless. Now, the power of saying useful or useless as opposed to bad or good is that you will refuse to continue to do things you think are useless. But you will continue to do things you think are bad.
Oh, yeah.
Because that makes us feel guilty, and there's a part of us that loves to feel guilty. So bad and good is a great way to keep the guilt going. Useful and useless is a great way to get you to stop or to start. With me? Okay. So, any questions, any comments, any clarifications about that paragraph or what I said? If I ask anybody in this room right now, they could tell me what the value of knowing what you want to happen in advance is. Who knows? What's the value of setting a goal? What will you see each situation as?
Determine the outcome.
Yeah, that's determining the outcome.
Yeah.
Now I'm in a situation where I know, for instance, if we were really here in our hearts and souls to hear the truth, to join, to hear the chorus for real, the truth for real, in our gut, all of us would see this as a situation that's full of meaning. and full of value. And we would see any thoughts that came up in our mind that interfered with us accepting the truth as useless thoughts. And then we see every thought that moved us toward love and peace and truth as being a useful thought. And so this situation would have meaning for us. And do you know that nothing turns you on more than to be in a situation that's meaningful to you? Yes, that just turns you on. You know, it's like when you get excited about going out with somebody for the first time that you're really attracted to. And that situation has a lot of meaning to you, and you can't hardly wait for the connection to happen. Why? Because it means a lot to you to see that person. And the meaning that you give it energizes you enough to do it with enthusiasm. So energy doesn't come from exercise. Energy comes from meaning. The exercise is just symbolic. You know, if I want to get to you, because getting to you really has meaning to me, I have the energy to get over that, baby. You see what I'm saying? But if I don't want to see you, there ain't enough energy in the world to get me there. See, it's meaning or no meaning, energy or no energy. See, the course is just super common sense. That's what blows my mind about it. It's just super, so much common sense that I wonder, why are you having to tell me this? It just seems so reasonable.
Simple.
It's so simple. Well, why does somebody have to even tell me that the value of this act, what I want to happen, is that I see the situation as a way to make it happen? And if I really want it to happen, I have to start overlooking everything that interferes with the accomplishment of my objective and concentrate on everything that helps me meet it. And that way I know what the truth is. The truth is what's helping me meet my goal. The false is what's useful from that point of view. Now the situation has meaning to me because my goal gave it meaning, so now I know why I'm here with you.
Great.
That's true in every situation. That's how you just heard how to make any situation meaningful. Who can tell me how to do it in their own words? Who can tell me how to do it? See how fish your goal. The beauty of bringing it back out of you is when you bring it back out of you, you had it. You decided it has meaning, and it has meaning now. Now we know why we're together. So now we can judge whether or not what we're doing is helping us achieve our objective. So now we know how to tell what's going on. You know, if you didn't have a goal to come over here, how would you know that you've arrived? And if you didn't have a goal to come over here, how could you tell that you were in the wrong place if you were in the mall right now? Well, your goal said you should be here. So being at the mall is useless. And so you'd immediately know you're in the wrong place in terms of your goal. But if you didn't have a goal, you'd just be in the mall. And you don't know why. And that's what most people do. The Course says we just wander. I love it. He says we just wander around meaninglessly. You know, not really knowing what the heck we're doing. We just follow the script that somebody gave to us before we were born, and then we judge ourselves by the script that somebody else gave us. It's such a great deception. I set the game up that everything you do will help me succeed in my goal. And not only that, I'll make you feel bad if you don't do it the way I said you should do it. Oh, this is like me saying, I've just come out with the next spring fashion, and now everybody has to wear what I'm wearing right now. Right? I mean, everybody agreed that they were going to have their whole fashion standard based on Earl Curtis standards. And not only that, they were going to criticize and condemn themselves to go to therapy if they didn't have it. Their self-worth was gone if everybody didn't have one of those sheets. I would love that. Now I don't have to do anything, and everybody's supporting my purpose without me having to do anything. And that's the way the game is set up. Everybody's trying to get everybody to do that. They set up their standard for what they want to achieve, and then they make you feel guilty if you don't help them achieve their goal that has nothing to do with your happiness, but they are just their own. And we call it relationships. Your goal is to make me happy. So anything that interferes with that objective, I am going to get mad about. So the Course says, well, we want the goal of truth. We want peace, right? So the Course says, the goal of truth has further practical advantages. Okay, check this sentence out. If the situation is used for truth and sanity, if you use a situation for sanity, if you use a situation for sanity, its outcome must be peace. So if you're dealing with the same situation right now, you are experiencing peace. So if you're feeling peace right now, that's where you are dealing with sanity. wherever you're feeling conflict right now, that's where you're dealing with your insanity. Whenever you are practicing the truth for real, I love this. Whenever you're practicing sanity for real, you've got to have peace, because you can't have peace if you don't have truth and you don't have no sense. You can't have peace if you don't know the truth and you don't have no sense. Then you don't have any peace.
Then you can't.
He said you can't have peace until you have some truth and some sanity. So we have a lot of people that's not in peace, but they don't realize that the reason why they're not in peace is because they're not practicing the truth and they have no sanity. So wherever the truth is and wherever peace is, you got sanity, truth, and peace that hang out together. Sanity, truth, and peace hang out together. Sanity, truth, and peace, the three musketeers, hang out together. When I first read the Course in Miracles, I started feeling really great. Sometimes I feel extremely depressed because it looked like my characteristics were all the insane ones. You know, he talked about if you have sanity and you're going to have peace. And then I don't feel peace about some things in my life. Then I got to turn around and admit I must not be using the truth and I must not be using sanity, which is hard for me because up until this point, the reason why I didn't have peace was you.
Right.
See, I got to change my whole game plan.
Yeah.
The reason why I didn't have peace, it wasn't that the problem was with me, the problem was with everybody else and everything else, or my past.
Yeah.
Okay? So now I got a new strategy. My new strategy is I'm not feeling peace, so I must not be in truth and sanity right now. And if I'll be in truth and sanity, he says the truth comes of itself. So if you experience peace, he says it's because the truth has come to you. So if you're experiencing peace, it's because the truth has come to you, and that means you will see the outcome truly. So here it goes. A person that has peace can always see how things are going to turn out. That's why they're never afraid. I'll be glad to. Let me turn it down. Let me just turn this off for just a second. Hang on, baby. See, this is like the Course is telling us. Right at the top of page 367. If you experience peace, it's because the truth has come to you. That means you will see the outcome. What's the word after that? Truly. Okay, so a person that's in peace can see things truly, which means a person that's in conflict ain't seeing nothing right. Ain't. So I'm telling you, if you're mad or angry or depressed or afraid, you are not seeing things truly. Because if you're really seeing things correctly, the outcome is always peaceful. It's just that simple. And that blows my mind. Because how can I mess with something like that?
Yeah.
The reason why you will see the outcome truly is because when you have peace, deception cannot prevail against you. When you have peace, no one can deceive a person who is truly in peace. No one can fool a person that's truly in peace. No one can hurt a person that's truly in peace. No one can do anything at all in any way to hurt or take advantage of anyone that's truly in peace.
Ooh, doggy. That's a good goal. I like that goal. Other people do that.
But see, the name of the game is be where you are, wherever you at. So, you know, everybody respond the way they feel like it. That's the way I want you to respond. And I appreciate what you said, too. Let me pass this around. We haven't got on the mailing list. I'm just.
Well, you did go past it. Should have gone.
Yeah.
But you haven't had a chance to put your stuff on the mailing list, just mail it around. Not mail it around, pass it around.
We know what you meant.
That paragraph was so deep it's a good chance that we need to hear it again.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I'll say it again. Whenever you experience peace, it's because the truth has come to you. If you feel peace and the truth has come to you, you will see the outcome. You'll see exactly how it's going to turn out, and you'll see it truly. You'll see how everything is going to truly turn out when you really have peace. And because you're seeing everything correctly, because you're seeing everything truly, deception cannot prevail against you. You cannot be fooled by anybody. No one can take advantage of someone who's in peace. Because someone who is in peace can see what's going on. Now, he says, you will recognize the outcome because you are at peace. You will recognize the outcome because you know what the outcome is? I'm at peace. Yeah. That's how I recognize the outcome, because I'm actually at peace. When you're actually at peace, you can recognize that you're actually at peace. Okay? He says, the Holy Spirit. Now, what's the Holy Spirit? Who's the Holy Spirit? What's this Holy Spirit stuff?
The voice for God.
The voice for God. The voice for
peace.
Voice for peace inside you. The part of you that is that same mind that it's talking about. The Holy Spirit is nothing but another term for you with some sense. The Course says the second coming of Christ is the return of our common sense. I thought that was the deepest thing I ever read in the book in my life. Because most people think of it as a person coming from the sky. He says, the Course is saying, no, when you have common sense again, that will be the second coming of Christ. What do you mean? Well, when you realize that if you experience the truth, you should be feeling peaceful right now. When you're to the point that you feel so peaceful, nothing can fool you, you've had the second coming of Christ. When you start to decide what you want to happen before you get in a relationship, or what you want to happen before you go into a situation, and then try to overlook everything that keeps you from succeeding, and really concentrate on everything that helps you succeed, now you're having the second coming of Christ. Now you're having the return of your common sense. When you start concentrating on what helps you meet your goal, and knowing that whatever helps you meet your goal is true and valuable and real for you, and everything that's giving you hard times, delaying you, attacking you, depressing you is useless, and now you got common sense again, and now you are experiencing the second coming of Christ. The second coming of Christ is when we're living this way, when we're thinking like this.
Cool.
Now the next paragraph is off the hook. Can we go to the next paragraph?
Yeah.
All right.
No.
Because the next sentence says it all.
There.
Some of these things so deep, I have to write it down. You know why? Because every time you use your body, you impress your mind.
Ooh, I like that.
Every time you use your body, you impress your mind.
I'm right.
So. And some of y'all have impressed a lot of minds in your life. Okay. Well, I just landed in my body in the last year. I just kind of like, my consciousness just kind of hung around my body, but it never would actually just come 100% into my body. Some of y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. It's like you're not completely here. You kind of feel more like you're kind of here, but you're kind of watching it. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you don't really feel like you're fully engaged. You kind of feel like you're kind of watching it.
Yeah.
So you haven't really fully entered your body. And so I thought this was the craziest place I ever seen in my life from the time I was born. I've always been shocked that anybody thought any of this made any sense, the way we treat each other and the way the world is. I'm amazed.
Yeah.
I'm still amazed to the day that people can walk around and not question the insanity of the thought system that separated minds use in the world of competition and difference and attack and fear. Mm-hmm. It just blows my mind that that seems normal to people. Mm-hmm. And it never seems. Anybody else, does that not seem normal to you? Okay, just don't be afraid to say so. You came here, you landed on the planet, and something in you went,
what the hell?
You know, it's like, and then you hear all this crazy stuff, you know, that people were telling you that didn't make no sense whatsoever. Mm-hmm. But then after a while, you saw so many parts that then you get in the truth and you realize it's your own mind. That's really a doozy. Mm-hmm. Because I was feeling so superior because I was so antagonistic towards the other part of me. Mm-hmm. It's like my hand going, I'm so much better than you, left hand. The right hand is at all. You need to get this together, left hand. Matter of fact, I'm falling in love with my shoulder. this is the honeymoon. And we are not going to give any love to hand because hand is a part of us. And if shoulder has anything to do with hand, what are you treating on me for?
You were going to write.
You got to start there.
Well, I never let my subject matter get in the way of what I have to say. You know that. Y'all been around me long enough to know that. Now I know. Okay. But that's how silly it is when we love one part of us over another part of us, or value one part of us over another part of us. That's how insane it is. It's insane as falling in love with your fourth finger and then claiming love in your foot is being unfaithful. Love doesn't have anything to do with the rules that we make up that the bodies have to obey in order for love to be there. Those are the mechanisms of fear that are used to hold each other together through guilt. Love doesn't entail anything that you need a body in order to do. So if I really wanted to love you, it would be nothing you could do to stop me. It wouldn't even be a choice. That's what I love about love. Love just waits on welcome. Love can show up as soon as I welcome it. I love that.
Cannot be controlled.
Yeah, what's not love? You gotta manipulate it. You gotta cajole it. You gotta seduce it. You gotta convince it. If it's not love, you gotta work real hard for it. If it's not love, I couldn't possibly really love somebody I'm working so hard to love. What I really want them to do, I want them to be special, and I want to be special to them, and I'm working really hard so we can have some specialness together. Mm-hmm. Not love. So, I want love. I want the kind of love that nobody can stop from getting to me. I want love that nobody can stop from getting to me. What's your goal? Well, I kind of like that coat I saw at Sears. And that's cool, too.
Yeah.
That's cool, too. It's so funny. The goal of truth requires faith. Can somebody tell me something I said that frightened them? Ooh, would anybody be honest enough to say something back to me that they heard that they felt a lot of resistance about?
Getting fully in my body. You know. I let everybody else, but no.
So you let more people into your body than you. I hear you.
Yeah.
I got some resistance to that.
Okay, but every time you use your body, I'm still waiting for that one.
Yeah, every time you use your body, it impresses your mind.
It impresses your mind?
Yeah, because it's symbolic of your willingness to be healed, because you're using your body to do something to bring it about. Okay. Just like using your body to come over here.
Okay.
That's a manifestation of your faith, is that you're sitting in the chair. So the goal of truth, and this is deep, because faith is a big deal. And what the Course says about faith is just so awesome. This is the most beautiful thing I've ever heard. He says the goal of truth requires faith. Faith is implicit in the acceptance of the Holy Spirit's purpose. And the minute you say you want to go for the Holy Spirit's purpose, which is your perfect happiness,
Faith is implicit. But this faith is all-inclusive. Where the goal of truth is set, there your faith must be. Your faith must be wherever your goal is. Your faith must be wherever your goal is. The Holy Spirit, which is your sane mind, your greater self, the God in you, the real you, sees the situation as a whole. The goal establishes the fact that everyone involved in the goal will play his part in the goal's accomplishment. That sentence is too incredible.
Yeah.
The goal establishes the fact that everyone involved in it will play their part. When you set the goal establishes the fact that everyone involved in your goal will play their part. That's why setting the goal is so important, because when you set the goal, then that establishes, the term is establishes the fact that everyone's going to play their part. The reason why it looks like everybody's not playing their part in helping me achieve my goal, the reason why it looks like everybody's not playing their part in me achieving my goal is that I haven't set a goal. Setting a goal establishes the fact that everybody involved in the goal will play their part in accomplishing it. Setting the goal establishes the fact that everyone involved in accomplishing your goal will play their part. Setting the goal ensures that everybody will play their part in achieving the goal. Really set it, but what is the goal? The goal is to have truth in your life, sanity in your life, and peace in your life. Now, that goal will establish the fact that everybody involved in it will play their part in its accomplishment. That means what? This is inevitable. What do you mean? No one will fail in anything. It means every single thing that everybody does will be helping you achieve your goal when you set the goal.
Isn't that amazing?
Startling.
The next sentence is why I love A Course in Miracles. It says, this seems to ask for faith beyond you. Doesn't it? It looks like what I just heard is asking me to have more faith than I got. You mean faith that all of y'all are going to play y'all's role in helping me achieve my goal? To think that if I really set my purpose, everybody and everything in my life is going to help me achieve my purpose? That definitely looks like it's calling for more faith than I got. That's what the book just says. I know it looks like it's calling for more faith than you have. And you go, you're right. It does look like it's calling for more faith than I have. See, that's why I know it's the truth. Because everything it tells me I'm doing is exactly what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
Why wouldn't we be enthusiastic about what we just heard? Because we don't believe it. It's beyond our faith. So how can I get enthusiastic about something that I don't even believe can happen? So he's saying, I got you covered. I know that what I just said to you, that if you set the goal, everybody will do their part. I know that you're going to think that. He says, so I got you covered. He says, this seems to ask for faith beyond you. It looks like it's faith beyond what you can give. Yes, it does. Well, he says, well, this is so only from the viewpoint of the ego. What is the ego? You and me. He says, this is only from the viewpoint of the mind that still believes in fear and separation. That's what the ego is. Yeah, it does look like it's calling for more faith than I have. Yeah, of course it does, from the point of view of the way you're looking at things. He says, you believe in solving conflict through fragmentation. I mean, you don't perceive the situation as whole. In other words, I'm just going to take a little bit of this situation that I got a problem over here on my job, and I'm going to deal with it over here. And then I got this problem with my children, and I'm going to deal with it over here. And then I got my spiritual problem, and I'm going to deal with it over. He says, the fearful man believes that it solves problems through fragmentation.
Wouldn't that also mean that I can't have it all now? I've got to do it little by little by little.
Mm-hmm.
For one single goal.
Mm-hmm. It means
work my way up to it.
That's a form of fragmentation. Unless you're looking at every situation that you're in as another opportunity for you to achieve your goal. See, all we have to do when we walk out this room and go, every situation that I go into today and tomorrow, I'm going to just see that as another opportunity to make true sanity and peace happen.
What if you're in a situation and you can't see a goal in that situation? Is that the wrong situation to be in?
If you're in a situation, that's why you have to say stuff like, let me remember what my purpose is. It's like there are lessons in the Course in Miracles. I used to see those lessons, I go, what the hell? But like there's a whole lesson. It's like, let me remember what my purpose is. You don't say that all day. Let me remember what my purpose is. Because it's just like any other muscle. When you say it enough and you recognize it enough, then you don't forget. And even if you do forget, something will remind you. Like when people say they come to the class and they hear a lot of stuff, but when they leave, they forget it. They don't realize that it's still inside of you and that it's going to come out when you need it. It's just like a camel storing up some water in his hump. You know, it's like when you need this, it'll be there for you.
Thank you.
Daddy takes
such good care of us.
Well, you know, the Course says when you're afraid, you don't see the situation as a whole. When you're afraid, you don't really see the whole situation. When you're afraid, you're just looking at fragments of the situation. And so he says, therefore, the ego seeks to split off segments of the situation and deal with them separately. Mm-hmm. Well, why am I trying to split off everything and deal with it separately? Because that's what I have faith in. I have faith in separation. I have faith in fragmentation. I don't have faith in oneness. That's why I have to separate everything off, because I believe in separation, not oneness. So the fearful man always fragments and separates because that's what it believes in.
Makes it complicated.
Which guarantees it won't be solved.
That's right.
Okay, that's the purpose of complexity, is to hide the simplicity of the answer. And there's no such thing as complex answers. They're just people who don't want to see the answer making things complex.
Confusion is
just being afraid of the goal. None of those are bad things, by the way. None of those things are sinful things. None of those things are bad things. It's just useless. It's not bad. Remember now, we're no more bad than good. It's useless. It's useless. What's useless?
Fear.
What's useless is what can't help me meet my goal. What's useless is what doesn't help me meet my goal. See, what's true? What helps me meet my goal? So here's the last paragraph, because I'm going to finish this tonight, because I got some more stuff I want to do next week. Okay. The goal establishes the fact that everyone involved in it will play his part in this accomplishment. The goal establishes the fact that everyone involved in it will play their part. Setting the goal establishes the fact that everyone in it. So what does that mean? That means if you really, really, really focus on the goal will create the circumstances that allow you to achieve it. If you focus on the goal will draw to you, create, and magnetize the people and situations that will allow you to achieve it. So it's much more important to focus on knowing what you want than to focus on how to get it.
Wow.
It's much more important to focus on your purpose than how you're going to achieve it. Because the purpose will create the circumstances that will allow you to achieve it. Wow. So confronted with any aspect of the situation that seems difficult, as soon as they say confronted with any aspect of the situation that seems difficult, the ego, which is the fearful person, the separated person, will attempt to take that aspect elsewhere. Bring your aspect over here. So kiss my aspect, buddy. I ain't coming over there. So when you see the ego, just say the fearful part of the mind, the person that believes that they're separate. So you see what it's doing? It's telling you exactly what a person is going to do that believes that they're separate from you, or believes that they're just a body, or don't know that they're a spiritual being. This book is telling you, and I guarantee you, it will teach you exactly what people are going to do before they do it, and it's going to freak you out, because you're going to start seeing them do exactly what this book said that they're going to do. Because it defines two things. This is the way a sane mind works. This is the way an insane mind works. And if you learn these two thought systems, you'll know exactly what everybody's going to do. You may not know the appearance it's going to take, but you're going to know the content of exactly what they're going to do. A person that thinks they're separate from me is going to treat me a certain way. And a person that knows they are me, they're going to treat me a certain way. And I need to know the difference between the two. So when I walk up on one of those jokers who in that separated, fearful mind that just wants to fragment and separate, then I will recognize it beforehand because I'll be in peace and I can't be fooled by them because I know the truth and I'm in peace.
Yes.
So if I'm listening to somebody that's lying to me, I know it when I know the truth.
Yes.
That's why I'm not, you won't be hurt anymore. Because you will know the truth. So if a person comes up to you and they say, it's everybody else's fault, I blame everybody else, it's everybody else's fault, I blame everybody else, it's everybody else's fault, I blame everybody else, you will know from the very beginning that this is a person that will be useless. This is a useless person. In terms of what? Your goal. Not useless in terms of they have no value as people, but they don't have any value if you own sanity and peace and to be in a relationship with someone that's mature and aware and take responsibility for their experience of life and see it as their own responsibility to give themselves joy and not yours, so therefore they're the easiest people in the world to get along with. You'll know from the very beginning. And what's so cool about what's happening to me right now, I keep choosing for the sanity. I don't care what the body look like. This is really a miracle. That's why I call the Course in Miracles. When I start putting the mind before the body.
Wow.
And that's just the truth for you all too. Just the truth for you all too. Because everybody got their own little special form of fear that turns them off. And they're looking for that special quality. And when they see the special quality, a lot of times they throw their sanity right out of the window. Why? Because sanity is interfering with their goal. Because you got to be crazy. Because you got to be crazy to go home with them. You know what I'm saying? It's like, sanity, get out of here. So they don't call you. They will not. When the person knows they're getting ready to make a mistake and they know the truth, they don't call their true friends. When you get ready to make a mistake, you know exactly who not to talk to.
Totally.
We all do. Because you know it's crazy yourself. But you don't want nobody to tell you it is.
Yeah.
Because that would what? Interfere with your goal. Just like the book said, you concentrate on helping you help you meet your goal, and then you overlook the things that interfere with your objective. You know, so when I really want to hurt myself, I'm never going to come around to people who would give me truth and sanity and compassion. When I'm ready to punish myself for something I think I've done, I'm not coming to a Course in Miracles class until I'm feeling good. And you come when you feel good, but you become even more if you're not feeling good. Because that shows that your goal is to still have peace, and you wouldn't overlook everything that interferes with it, which would be you standing home by yourself listening to the crazy stuff you're finna tell yourself while you're depressed.
Mm-hmm. And watching TV.
And watching TV and getting more depressed. Unless it's Grey's Anatomy. Okay, now. Well, you know, we have lots of TV spiritual snobs. They're so enlightened now. Okay, the last paragraph. If I'm not mistaken, the name of the game is acceptance. If I'm not mistaken, the name of the game is not everybody living the way you think they should, but it's some acceptance coming down. What does that mean? It means you accept. Oh. What do you mean? Accept it all. Accept it all. I love it. I'm not going to condemn something I might do one day. I built up all that guilt for 30 years and not watching TV, and I watch the show and have a heart attack. When you have a heart attack? Right in front of the TV. I wonder why. Do you know, when you condemn other people for things, as soon as you do any of that stuff, you absolutely kick the living stew out of your butt. Everything you judge somebody else about, you better not ever do it, because you're going to put a scunion punishment on yourself. Not the regular kind, the scunion, you know what I'm saying? And I guarantee you, sooner or later, you will be tempted, because you're creating it by your very judgment of it. The reason why I started taking revenge on people because I knew just being themselves was bad enough punishment. So I'm burden. You already messed up enough on your own. Your consciousness is going to create, you got all this hate and grievance and anger and projection and blame, and the law of attraction is operating. My God, I don't have to punish you. You're going to do a much better job than I would. You're going to even do it when I'm not even around and I forget about you. Because this is the way you think about yourself all the time. I don't have to punish nobody. They don't love themselves. They whooping their own butt all day long. I don't have to do anything. I don't love myself. I'm going to hurt myself. So I don't have, nobody has to worry about me punishing myself for the things I feel guilty about. I will do it. Thank you. And since I'm better aware of my own weaknesses and fears and insecurities, I can do a much better job than you. Because you don't know I got a fear of mice. I do. So I make sure I end up in a whole battle. That's what people don't know. Like they think they're being so spiritual when they go, well, I'm not, should I not judge? I don't know. Well, maybe I don't know if they deserve not to be judged. They really don't sound like a horrible thing, too. You know, it's like, you better damn so make sure you don't ever do it.
Yeah.
Because are you going to meet your own consciousness? And then you just have all the people around here. You deserve to be punished. 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 Why? Because you think everybody else does. No, Earl believes that everybody in the world deserves loving, gentle correction. I just like everybody to have loving, gentle correction. See, I got the second coming of Christ happening. My common sense is returning. I have sense enough now to ask for what I want. Give people what I want. Keep people the way I want to be treated. And it's not something I'm doing out of generosity because of spiritual progress. It's common freaking sense because I know my own consciousness is going to draw to me what I believe in and what I judge and what I feel strongly about. So I need to set my goal. So, let me finish this. It's 8 o'clock. That's right, we're pretending it's in California. The class is just starting.
Alright.
Some people, my people want to kill me. Okay, here we go. Me too. That's what I always tell people. You know, this to me is the best feeling in the world. To be letting my body be used to tell you, you deserve to have complete peace and sanity and joy. Mm-hmm. It feels so good. Mm-hmm. To enthusiastically let you know I think you're beautiful, that feels so good. And then what's happening more and more and more and more and more and more and more, is strangers and people I know alike are saying, Earl, you are so beautiful. I appreciate you so much. I love you so much. It's a trip to watch it happen. But as long as I was analyzing and philosophizing, it wasn't happening. As long as I was thinking it was some charitable act somebody was asking me to do to somebody who didn't deserve it, it wasn't happening. My biggest grievance was against myself. You want to work on who to forgive? Mm-hmm. Forgive you.
That's
because as soon as you forgive you, then everybody else will forgive you. Yeah. That's so deep, man.
Yeah.
You know, the course says there's just one more person in the sonship that needs to change their mind, and then the whole change of mind will be complete, mm-hmm. and then all heaven will happen. There's just one more little part of the self that needs to change his mind, and then all the beautiful things will be here. And I'm like, well, who did it? You! As soon as you join in with the atonement will be complete. You are the holdout.
Yeah,
wow.
As soon as you accept the truth and what you deserve for yourself, you'll see a magical transformation of the entire universe. Mm-hmm. Your whole world will change.
Mm-hmm. All
right.
You're the last temptation.
Oh, wow.
My girl. So take a breath with me, please. I know I get worked up.
Oh, thank you.
But I can't help it. I'm so happy that I get worked up. I'm so happy to be me. I'm so happy that you're you. Let me see who you are. Stop hiding from me. Let me see who you are. Stop hiding from me. Let me see who you are. Stop hiding from me and stop acting like you don't know me. Stop acting like we're strangers. Stop acting like we just met recently. Stop acting like we're separate. Stop it. Cut it out. You know better.
It's useless.
It's useless. There's nothing you can do to get away from me. I'll change bodies on you and still be right there with you. Mm-hmm. You can't get away from yourself. So you just as well start loving yourself, because we ain't going nowhere. And everywhere you go, we'll be there. And we'll be there reflecting back to you exactly what you believe you deserve. We know you deserve more than what you're giving yourself. And we are waiting to give you what you deserve. Please show us that you're willing to receive it by starting to give it to us. Please, please. We want to give some good stuff to you so bad, but you got to give us a signal that you're ready to receive it by treating yourself better. Set the goal. And we promise if you set the goal, we'll play our part.
It's called Love Offering Salsa. Thank you for sharing, Holy Spirit.
Thank you for giving. Thank you for giving. Okay, brother. You deserve to be paid for having fun. You deserve to be paid for having fun. I 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 deserve to be paid for having fun. When you like to receive your income from the world, doing something you really love to do, set that goal. If you set that goal, everybody will play their part in this accomplishment, but you have to set the goal. Next class is at Sunday, 1 o'clock. Let's get ready to go home. Take a breath. There's one thought. When I do this, I would like to ask you to give yourself the gift of total doing whatever you feel like doing. Sit wherever you want to sit. Let your mind go wherever it wants to go. I'd like to ask you to give yourself the gift of just feeling safe and peaceful for a couple of minutes. The goal establishes the fact that everyone involved in your goal will play their part in its accomplishment. Setting your goal establishes the fact that everyone in your life, from this moment forward, everyone in your life will play their part. From this moment forward, everyone in your life will play their part in helping you achieve your goal. Setting a goal establishes the fact that everyone will play their part in the accomplishment of the goal. Setting a goal establishes the fact that everyone involved in it will play their part in its accomplishment. So set the goal. I set the goal of truth. I set the goal of truth. I set the goal of sanity. I set the goal of sanity. I set the goal of peace. I set the goal of peace in my life. I set the goal of sanity in my life. Say that to yourself. Set the goal so that everyone in your life can start playing their part in helping you achieve your goal. Remember, what's true in your life is what helps you meet your goal. What's valuable in your life is what helps you reach your goal. And what's useless is what does not help you meet your goal. So think in terms of useful and useless. Think in terms of every situation that you go into when you leave here will be an opportunity to help you meet your goal. Every situation that you go into when you leave here will be another opportunity for you to achieve your goal. Every situation that you go into when you leave here will be another opportunity for you to reach your goal. Every situation that you go into when you leave here will be another opportunity for you to meet your goal. Open my mind. Release all your worries. Release those old beliefs. Far away. And this may be a little difficult for some of you to hear, but I'm going to say it for about 30 seconds. And I hope you can take it. I love you, 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 you are loved, 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 regardless of how you feel about yourself, you are loved, no matter what you think about yourself, you are loved. No matter how you feel right now, you are loved. I love you. You are loved. You are loved. You are loved. I love you. 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 You are loved. May the course be with you. Thank 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 you. Priceless. Priceless.
Priceless.
Priceless. Priceless. Hugs are available. And all my classes are online, so check out the website.